Today's shir is Masechet Gittin Daf Beis. As we begin, Beis Hashem Yisbarach, Masechet Gittin. Masechet Gittin, as its name implies, speaks about the halachos of Gittin. If a couple want to get divorced, the Torah says the way to effect such a get is by such a termination of the marriage is by the husband presenting the wife a get, as we will be discussing in Mitzvah Shem quite extensively. And that's why, that's the Masechta that we begin to learn today about how that is affected with all the various details. Of course, the question that the Rishonim already ask in learning this Masechta is, shouldn't Masechta Gedushin, which speaks about how a couple, Baruch Hashem, gets married, been learned before Masechta Gittin, which speaks about how the marriage ends? So one pshat that I saw, the Rambam says this pshat in the Pirush Mishnayos, is because the Torah says v'yotz of ahaisa. If we look in the pasuk that describes a woman's relationship with her husband, the Torah says first v'yotz, that they get separated v'ahaisa, and then she gets married. Of course, there we're talking about a woman who got divorced and now is getting remarried. But the point that we learn from there is that the fact is that the Torah speaks about the v'yotza, the getting divorced before the v'hoisa, before the getting married. So the Torah speaks about gittin before kedushin, and that's why it's mentioned first. Another pshat that I saw from the Chenabla Magid, the Chenabla Magid suggests that the gittin represents the sumira, because if we look in the Torah, when it describes the situation why a couple is going to get divorced, is kimotza ba ervistavar. He found that his wife acted in an immoral fashion, and for that reason, they get divorced. That represents, says the Chenabla Magid, the sumira, separating oneself from something inappropriate. Getting married is dasei toiv, and as the name of get, as the term of getting married very much implies, kedushin, getting married, a proper Jewish marriage represents kedushin. So that's why first we speak about, as the pasuk says, the sumera, and then we speak about the seitoiv. But then I saw a very nice pshat. The Torah has, of course, as we know, Tariag, this is from the Pupa Rebbe Zatzal. The Torah, of course, has Tariag mitzvahs. What we're obligated to do, what we may not do. Says, so he explains, and a Jew has the obligation to learn, to do all of the mitzvahs of the Torah. Of course, when we say that a Jew has obligation to do all the mitzvahs of the Torah, certain mitzvahs are impossible to be done, and certain mitzvahs, frankly, we don't want should be done. A get is an example of a mitzvah that we don't want performed. Yes, we hope and pray that every couple, as they get married, would Baruch Hashem remain married with wonderful shalom bayis. But a get, the Rambam, when he lists the mitzvahs in the Torah, a get is one of the mitzvahs. So the question is, how's one to perform that mitzvah? The answer is by learning the halachas of get, and not Baruch Hashem needing to perform that mitzvah, we accomplish what a get does. So therefore, he explains that kedushin we perform without actually doing the kedushin, by actually Baruch Hashem getting married. Gittin we only perform by learning Masechta Gittin. So now when we're learning Gittin, which is a mitzvah which hopefully we will only perform ever in our lives with learning, we should do first the learning of Gittin. Kedusha, which is a mitzvah which actually we're going to perform, will come afterwards. The question that is asked, the get, is the bill of divorce that separates the husband from the wife. And the question is that why is such a document called a get? So Taisu says, because a get has in it 12 lines, and not, and get, which is Gimel 3 and Tes 9, equal 12. But of course, that question therefore is that why should it be called a get? Yes, we want to allude to the fact that there's 12 letters, there are 12 lines in the get, but why should it be the word get? There are other ways of putting together the two letters that equal 12. So the Gra explains in the Sefer Divrei Eliyahu that we never find in the Torah the word, a word that has the letter get, the letters Gimel and Tes next to each other. And therefore, a get, which represents separating, you put two letters that are never together. Even though Reb Chaim Kanievsky, in a Sefer Talmud Kra, does point out that there are other letters in the Torah that you'll never find together that could equal the letter 12. He says, but these two letters are the first two letters that should have the letter Gimel and the letter Tes, which represents two letters that are not together, and they're the first letters in the Pasuk, and the first letters in the Alabes that are like that. That's why they were chosen to represent a get. The Shilti Geboirim brings a different pshat, that there's a stone that is found, and the name of the stone is Gita Shma. And this stone does not let anything come in between, not anything come close to it. Since it doesn't let anything come close to it, it's most appropriate to represent the get, which also represents that the get represents that the husband and wife are separating. As the Chassam Sofer brings, as he begins to explain our Masechta, he says that when a get is given, of course, the typical case, the case that we will usually speak about, is a case where the husband gives the get to the wife when they separate. However, a get can also be delivered with a shliach, with somebody delivering the get. And there are a number of types of shlichas. There's a shliach halacha, where the husband appoints somebody to bring the get, to deliver it to his wife, and therefore the shliach becomes an extension of the husband. There's a shliach kabbalah, where the wife appoints somebody to receive the get on her behalf, and there's a shliach havah. A shliach havah is when the wife appoints somebody to bring the get to her, but in the case of a shliach havah, unlike the case of a shliach kabbalah, both of them are cases where the wife appointed the shliach, but in the shliach kabbalah, the way the wife appointed the shliach is that the shliach will receive the get, and when he receives the get, that's when it will be effective. A shliach havah, as the wife appointed a shliach to bring her to get, but she wouldn't be divorced until she actually receives the get. It's also interesting to point out that, as we said a moment ago, the get has 12 lines, and that's why we said it's called 12. That's why it's called get. The question is, why does it have 12 lines? So I saw. So Tosfos pshat is, because if we look in a Sefer Torah, there are 12 places, there are 12 lines that are left empty. Because between Pasha, Sefer Bereishis and Shemois and Vayikra B'Midbar, the separation between these Sfarim are four lines each. Four times three equal 12. So just like we have 12 lines that representing separation, that's why over here we also have the 12 lines that represent separation. Another pshat that I saw is that 12, we know, are the amount of shvatim. When a woman gets divorced from her husband, what happens is that she now becomes mutter to all the other 12 shvatim. And therefore, they use 12 lines. The halach is, the Rosh already says, that if the get is missing 12 lines, if the get is not written 12 lines, then b'di'evid, the get is considered a very, very get. And the closing, I saw that the Klaus Magreb explains what is the connection between the 12 empty lines and a get. So he says that a person who's a Talmud Chacham, a person who's connected to the Divrei Torah, such a person will typically not get divorced. He knows how to get along with his wife. He'll know how to live. A person who's empty of Torah, and as soon as his marriage is not working out the way he wants to, that he separates from his wife, represents the person who has empty lines on the Torah. So the Mishnah begins. I maybe get from Medina Siyam. Somebody brings a get from Medina Siyam. And as we said, the Mishnah is referring to somebody who's bringing the get. The Mishnah is speaking about a shliach haivah. The Mishnah is speaking about somebody who, a shliach that the wife appointed to bring the get to her. Others say it's talking about a shliach halacha, that the husband appointed this person to bring the get. But again, the point of the Mishnah is that the get is being brought by a shliach. The Melech Shlomo makes a very strong point. He says that the Mishnah says, Hamevi. Hamevi is a lashon that it happened. Why does the Mishnah use such a language? The Melech Shlomo says that the Mishnah is trying to teach us that getting divorced is a b'diavad. It's not something that we want to see should happen. And the get is being delivered by a shliach, by a shliach halacha, as we said, a shliach havah, but the shliach is delivering the get to the wife. And maybe get the Medina Siyam, Tzarech Shoymer has to say, b'fonei nechtav or b'fonei nechtam. That I saw this get written and I saw this get signed. And as we're going to be learning extensively in our shiurim, the Gemara focuses why the Chazal institute that somebody who brings the sket has to say b'fonei nechtam, has to say b'fonei nechtam. The Rosh says a very bechiddush. The Rosh says that this halacha that the shliach has to say b'fonei nechtam is only in a case where we don't know for certain that he was appointed to be the shliach. But if we know for sure that he was appointed to be the shliach, then we're not, by the husband, we're not concerned with any of the considerations that we're going to be discussing in our shir. Rav Gamliel Omer, af hamevi min ha-rekem u-min ha-cheger. There are places that are called rekem ha-cheger, which are right next to Tisrael on the east side. The halach is that somebody brings a get from Rekem Cheger has to say b'fonei nechtam. A very important part of our discussion will be, as the Mishnah began, that I maybe get from Medina Siyam. Somebody brought the get from overseas. And the question is, what is considered overseas from which you have to bring, from where you have to say b'fonei nechtam? And Poshup Shat, Medina Siyam, means anywhere outside of Eretz Yisrael. That's how Rashi learns. And Rashi explains, except Bavel, as we're going to explain the Gemara, why Bavel is excluded. But now, the Mishnah wants to be a little sharper, exactly what is considered Rekem V'Cheger. So Taisa says that the reason, Taisa asks a question, that the reason we assume that Rekem V'Cheger had Jews, and that's why Tanakhama did not include Rekem V'Cheger, Rav Gamliel included Rekem V'Cheger. So ask Tosis, that we're going to learn later in our Masechta, that if we find pieces of cloth that have blood on them, and now we have to be concerned if they're from Jewish women and they're Tomei, or they're from non-Jewish women and they're Tohor, we could assume that's from non-Jewish women, because the people who live in Rekem V'Cheger, are not Jewish. So we see from here that they were Jewish. So Tosfos explains that there are two different Tosfos that are called Rekem. Our Mishnah speaks about Rekem where they were Jews. The Mishnah we're going to learn later in the Masechta speaks about a Rekem that did not have Jews. Of course, the Achronim don't understand Tosfos Teretz. Why would the Mishnah use the same word for the two different places that we should get confused? So therefore, the Mashar explains that one was in Eretz Yisrael, one was in Chutz Laretz. Therefore, since it was so far away, nobody's going to get confused. Rebbe Lezer says, "Afilu mikfar Ludim lalud." Even if you bring a get from Kfar Ludim, which is within the borders of Eretz Yisrael, to Lud, which is in Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't make a difference, according to Rebbe Lezer, the way Rashi explains, that even though it's so close to Eretz Yisrael, you still have to say b'fani nechtam, b'fani nechtam. And Tosfos says that what the Mishnah is teaching us is even deeper. Not only if you bring a get from Kfar Ludim must you say b'fani nechtam, b'fani nechtam, but the Mishnah is teaching us that not only did you bring it from Kfar Ludim, which is so close to Eretz Yisrael, you brought it to the city of Lud. And the city of Lud is right next to that area. So we have two reasons not to have to say b'fani nechtam, b'fani nechtam. One is because they're so close, and particularly this city of Kfar Ludim and Lud are so very close, and the people are always traveling from one to the other. The halach is that you still have to say b'fani nechtam, because you have to say because they're so close. Of course, the Achronim point out that the Mishnah is being very specific. The Mishnah is saying that mikfar ludim, if you bring the get from kfar ludim, which is outside of Eretz Yisrael, lulud to Eretz Yisrael, that's when the get has to be. That's when you have to say b'fani nechtam, b'fani nechtam. But if we're the other way around, where you were bringing the get from Lud to Kfar Ludim, then the halach is that you would be allowed to, that you would not need to say b'fani nechtam, because as we know, you don't have to say get, at least at this point, you don't have to say b'fani nechtam when you're bringing a get from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz. Only when you bring a get from Medina Siyam. In these other cases, since they're so close, we don't have to say b'fani nechtam, b'fani nechtam. And similarly, if somebody takes a get from Eretz Yisrael to Medina Siyam, then he holds that you have to say b'fani nechtam, b'fani nechtam. And we'll explain this all in the Gemara. If somebody brings a get from one country to another country, in Medina Siyam, the halach is tzarech shiyam b'fani nechtam b'fani nechtam. Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion, however, is afilu megmoina ma'agmoina, not only from one country to another country, but if there are two different cities, or even one city, but have different authorities over those different areas in the same city, the halach is you would have to say b'fani nechtam, b'fani nechtam. And the Ritva points out that all of what we're learning now is a continuation of the opinion of the Chachamim, that the Chachamim said when you take a get from Eretz Yisrael, from Chutz Laretz, Eretz Yisrael, from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz, you have to say b'fani nechtam, b'fani nechtam. And now they're continuing to say that when you take a get from Medina in Chutz Laretz, you also have to say b'fani nechtam, b'fani nechtam. Now, but his opinion is that the opinion of the Chachamim will be that in Eretz Yisrael itself, you won't have to say b'fani nechtam, b'fani nechtam. And Rav Shimon Gamliel will teach us that there are certain cases that even, and that's what Rav Shimon Gamliel is coming to teach us, that even in certain cases in Eretz Yisrael, mi'agmonya l'agmonya, different areas in the same city that are controlled by different people, sometimes you'll have to say b'fani nechtam, b'fani nechtam. So now the Mishnah continues to teach us what are the borders of Eretz Yisrael, to know, as we're learning in our Mishnah, there's a difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz, so it's important to know what is included in Eretz Yisrael and what is Chutz Laretz. So Yehuda Aymer, mi Rekem, a place called Rekem, which is on the east side of Eretz Yisrael, Lemizrach, and to the east side, that's all considered like Chutz Laretz. For Rekem, and Rekem itself is considered like already the east side, Rekem itself is already considered like Chutz Laretz. There's a question, how do I learn the Mishnah? is the Mishnah just explaining what the Tanakhama said, or is the Mishnah saying that things changed and that the borders of Eretz Yisrael changed, and the beginning of the Mishnah reflects one period in our history and this reflects another period in our history. From Ashkelon Ladoron, from the city of Ashkelon to the south, is considered Chutz Laretz, and Ashkelon Kedorim, and Ashkelon is considered Chutz Laretz. So Tosfos asks that we all know that Ashkelon is already listed in Sefer Yeshua as a city in Eretz Yisrael. So how could our Mishnah suggest that Ashkelon Kedorim, that Ashkelon is Chutz Laretz? So Rabbeinu Tam says that there were the part of Eretz Yisrael that was captured when the Oile Mitzrayim came, the first time when Yeshua came and they conquered the land. And then there was the second time when they came up with Ezra. He says that the Eretz Yisrael, the parts of Eretz Yisrael that were taken when we came with Yeshua, was much broader than the parts of Eretz Yisrael that were taken later. And Ashkelon was such a city. It was part of Eretz Yisrael the first time, but not the second time. The Re answers that what our Mishnah is teaching us is that Ashkelon, he says, we can't argue, is part of Eretz Yisrael. But he says Ashkelon is a city which is right by the border. And since Ashkelon is a city which is right by the border, he suggests that it's already, even though it's technically part of Eretz Yisrael, it's considered Chutz Laretz because it's already so far close to the, it's so close to the border. Ramei Ma'akal Tzafai, and says the Mishnah, the border of the north side is Akoi, and Akoi itself again is considered Tzafai. So here asks Rabbeinu Tam, even though by Ashkelon we were able to answer that Ashkelon was part of Eretz Yisrael only in the time of Yeshua, not later on, Akoi was always part of Eretz Yisrael. So if Akoi was always part of Eretz Yisrael, why is the Mishnah saying that Akoi could soften? So he answers that Akoi was a city that was really had two parts to it. One part of the city was in Eretz Yisrael, and the other part of Akoi was outside of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, the Mishnah's the Akoi is not completely in Eretz Yisrael. The Rashba says that the discussion here, what we need to understand, if Nader was saying Akoi is a city that is partially in Eretz Yisrael and partially outside of Eretz Yisrael, and what does the Mishnah mean to say? Is the Mishnah referring only to the part of Akoi which is not part of Eretz Yisrael? Or is the Mishnah even referring to the part of Eretz Yisrael, a part of Akoi which is in Eretz Yisrael? But going back to what we mentioned from the Re, that any city which is so close to the border is considered like it's Chutz Laretz, therefore Akoi, maybe even the part of Akoi which is in Eretz Yisrael should be considered like Chutz Laretz. Tosfos also, from Rabbeinu Tam and Tosfos, we've seen there's a difference that certain cities were conquered, the certain cities that were conquered in the time of Yeshua, and there are certain cities that were only conquered, that were not conquered later. So the Dvaz has a discussion when there's a so as far as our Mishnah is concerned, we look at if the city is currently part of Eretz Yisrael or not. That's what is the determining factor. Is it considered Eretz Yisrael? Is it considered Chutz Laretz? But the Dvaz discusses, we know that l'chatchila, a person is not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael unless there's a good reason. A person who lives at Yisrael is not allowed to leave at Yisrael unless he has a good reason to leave at Yisrael. So the Ritvaz discusses, is that the same halacha as far as does the halacha that we're speaking in our Mishnah, what is or what isn't considered at Yisrael related to that? And he quotes a Rambam that says that all the parts of at Yisrael that were conquered at the time of Yeshua are considered at Yisrael. There's only a discussion as far as the halacha that we're discussing in our Mishnah, of Befani Mechtav, Befani Nechtam. All the other halachas are not included in our Mishnah. The Mishnah did not mention the border to the west, so all the Rishonim explain, because on the west side, the border the border of Eretz Yisrael is the Yam HaGadol, is the Mediterranean Sea, and therefore there's no need to identify cities, because the entire west side, when we have the Yam, that's what is the border. Ramei Omer, says the Mishnah, Akai Eretz Yisrael Gittin, that Akai is treated like Eretz Yisrael for Gittin. Hamevi Get, continues the Mishnah, if somebody brings a get in Eretz Yisrael itself, Ein Etzarech Shiyomar, B'fani Nachtam, B'fani Nachtam, he doesn't have to say B'fani Nachtam, B'fani Nachtam, Im Yeshel of Oirim, but if somebody comes to say that the get is a false get, and the Rishonim point out, who are the individual who could claim the get is false? So certainly, the husband could claim that I never gave this get, but there are others that also can make such a claim. Because we know that when a couple gets divorced, we learned Masechta Ksubos, the halacha is that the husband has to pay out to his wife the ksuba. If the husband doesn't have money available with which to pay the ksuba, but there's a lien on all of his assets for that ksuba, since there's a lien on all of his assets for that ksuba, the halacha is that if he doesn't have any money, cash, or really property available from which to collect the ksuba, the halacha is the wife could go after people who might have bought assets, those assets from the husband during the course of from when they got married. And now if she's claiming to go after those people for those assets, if they say that the get isn't a real get, she's not entitled to the ksuba. So what happens? Says the Mishnah, Yiskayim b'chesamav. There's a halacha that we have throughout Shas. We learned about this in Masechta Ksubos. We certify the get. And the way we certify the get is by bringing people who could identify that the signatures on the get are really the husband's, are really the signatures of these Edim, or we could, if we in Beis Din have documents with these people who are signed, that we can recognize that these are their signatures. These are the ways of certifying the get. That's what we do, Yiskayim b'chesamav, that, and like that, the get will be considered a valid get. The Arizal said that our Mishnah teaches us hamevi get sarach shayim b'fanei nechtam b'fanei nechtam. So the Arizal says that you can look at a person's face and say, b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. A tzaddik can look at the person's face and see on his face, nechtam v'nechtam, what has he done in his life. My tama. So as we began our shiur today, the focus of our mission is to teach us the halacha that if somebody brings a get, he has to say, b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. And now the Gemara asks, my tama. Why did Chazal make such a rule that you have to say b'fani nachtam, b'fani nachtam? So says the Gemara, Rabba Amar, l'fi she'ein b'kein l'shma. One of the most fundamental halachos of writing a get is that the get has to be written specifically for the husband who's getting divorced and for the wife who's getting divorced. And therefore, the halacha is, you have to say, the people in Chutz Laaretz were not familiar with the halachas of the fun of Lishma, and since the halacha of Lishma is a most fundamental halacha in writing the get, that therefore you have to say, the shlich has to say b'fani nechtam b'fani nechtam. But we have a very fundamental machlokas rishonim regarding this. So b'fani nechtam b'fani nechtam, according to Rabba, is here to tell us that this get was written Lishma. But in the words b'fani nechtam, there is no mention of l'shma. And therefore, Rashi says that the shliach says b'fani nechtam and b'fani nechtam. And then we, the Beis Din, ask the shliach, was it done l'shma? Tosfos disagrees very strongly with Rashi. He says, nowhere in the Mishnah or in the Gemara, nowhere in the Mishnah did it say explicitly that we asked the question. Our Mishnah says that he says b'fani nechtam, b'fani nechtam. And Tosfos says the reason we don't have to ask is because the discussion, the statement is a statement that the get was written properly and there's no need to say anything more. So Tan Taisus asks, as we in Mitzvah Shem are now going to be learning Masechta Gittin, we're going to see that there are numerous halachas in writing a get. So why from all the halachas is the focus only on the halacha of Lishma? So Taisus says that the people who wrote Gittin were familiar with all the halachas. For some reason, they weren't familiar with the halacha of Lishma. The Ramban finds that difficult. He says, if the Sofer knows Hilchas Gittin, he ought to know all Hilchas Gittin. Why is this a halacha? Why is only the halacha of Lishma a halacha that they don't know? He says that, so one answer the Ramban gives is all the other halachas are halachas that don't come up often. This is something that every get has to be written Lishma. That's why it's much more of a common need to know. Then he gives a different teretz. A sofer, he says, knows all of the halachas of Gittin. Well, we're concerned that our Mishnah for, says the Ramban, is that the husband wants to divorce his wife, and he finds a document that a husband and wife were preparing to get divorced, and the name of that husband was the same as his name. The name of that wife was the name as his wife. It was discarded because they decided not to get divorced. But that get was available, so he used the get. So there was no cipher involved. When there's a cipher involved, says the Ramban, just like we're not concerned for all the other issues in the halacha of Gittin, we're not concerned for this either. We're worried that maybe there was no cipher involved in the writing of this get. The Chachma Shloimeh says a very bechidish. Even though the halacha is that the get has to be written lishma, as we just said, that the get has to be written with the wife's name being mentioned is Achiv Daraisa. The husband's name that it should be written lishma should be is only midrabbanan, because when we look in the pasuk of a cause of law lishma, law lishma is written the cause of law regarding the wife, and since it's regarding the wife, that's where there's a din daraisa of lishma. Not regarding the husband, there is no chiv lishma. Rava has a giffen explanation, and that is fisha ein edim mitzuyim lekayma. As we mentioned in our end of our Mishnah, there is a concern that the husband may come and say that the get is not a valid get. He never asked that this get should be written. It's a forgery. And since the get was written overseas, we don't have people really available over here to say that the get is, that they were the witnesses or they knew the witnesses. So therefore, Chazal instituted that the shliach should say b'fani nechtam, b'fani nechtam, and that's what validates the get, that we now, even if the husband comes to make a claim, he's not going to be able to make this claim. So of course, the Ravid asks, if that's the case, so why doesn't he just come and say that the husband gave him the get? Why does he have to say b'fani nechtav, b'fani nechtam? So the Ravid answers, we're concerned that the husband's going to say that he wrote the get, but he's going to say that he wrote the get because there weren't so many people traveling from Chutz Lars to Eretz Yisrael, and he saw that this person was traveling, so he quickly wrote the get without going to cipher, without doing it properly. And therefore, the shliach has to say b'fani nechtam, saying that the get was written with all of the halachas that a get requires. So we now have identified two reasons why the Mishnah said you have to say b'fani nechtam. So ask the Gemara, my benayu, what's the nafkamina between these two halachas? So of course, the Sefer Tver Shmuel asks an obvious question. If the shliach will say b'fani nechtam, that I know that the husband appointed the shliach to write the get, but I don't know that the get was written in lishma. So according to Rava, the concern is l'fish ein edim mitzuyim l'kayma has been satisfied. But according to the concern of Rava, l'fish ein bikin lishma, that hasn't been satisfied. So the Achronim will answer that once a shliach, and this goes back to something we mentioned earlier, once a shliach could say that he saw that the get was written, the halacha is we could assume that the sofer wrote the get properly. And once we could assume that the sofer wrote the get properly, we need not worry for him anymore. So therefore, ask the Gemara, what is the naftumina? Ikubinayu, the siri betray. Two people brought the get. So according to Rava, that the concern is that the get wasn't written lishma. So it doesn't make a difference how many people are delivering the get. If in Chutz La'aretz people don't know the halacha of lishma, we have to ascertain that this get was written lishma. But according to Rava, that the concern is that there won't be anybody here to verify the get. Here we have two people who are able to verify the get, and therefore the concern doesn't exist. So of course, the question here is that yes, we have two people that are bringing the get, and they could tell us that if there's any claim against the get is valid. But still, these people aren't going to be here forever. And since they aren't going to be here forever, why shouldn't we be concerned that they're going to go back home, and then the husband will make an error on the get? So some achroinim explain that the reason what we're looking at is the moment of giving the get. And once at that moment the get has two people who brought the get, then the get, we have no reason to be concerned. The fact that those shlichim may go back home doesn't make a difference. The only thing we're worried about is at the moment of the giving of the get. Inami, another nafkamina, will be if a get is being delivered from Medina to Medina in Eretz Yisrael, from one region Eretz Yisrael to another region Eretz Yisrael, where people did not travel often. So in Eretz Yisrael, they knew the din of Lishma. And since they knew the din of Lishma in Eretz Yisrael, there is no concern that the get is not a valid get. But if the concern is that since there aren't people that are traveling regularly from one area to the other area, we need to be concerned that the husband's going to make a claim against the get and we won't have anybody here to be mekayim the get, that concern doesn't exist. Inami, or another nafkamina, will be ba'ois Medina, Medina Sayyam. If in the same area in Medina Sayyam, if the concern is that there's nobody here to testify to the veracity of the get. So here, in one Medina, in Medina Sayyam, then there's no concern. Because there are people constantly traveling, and there will be people who could be mekayim the get. But if the concern is that they don't know in Chutz La'aretz, in Medina Sayyam, the halacha of Lishma, so that concern will exist even in one country, in Medina Sayyam. Ask the Gemara, Rava the Amma, according to Rava that says that the concern is Lufisha and Bikin Lishma. And that's why we need the Shlich to say, Befani Nechta, Befani Nechtam. So if that's the case, Liboy Trey, we ought to have two Adim, as we have Midi Dehava, Kolidish Betaira, as we have by all halachas of Adis, that we always have to have two Adim. Answers the Gemara, a very important rule. Eid Echod Nemen Bisurim. When we talk about Esurim, the halacha is Eid Echot is Neman. So the Rashi says, from where do we know the halacha of Eid Echot Neman be Esurim? Because the Torah trusts people all the time. The Torah says that I can eat in somebody's house and I could trust that he prepared the food in a kosher manner, that the meat is kosher, that Trumas and Mises were removed. And therefore, we have no reason to be concerned about. That's where we see that the Torah said, "Eid Echod Neman Bisurim." We could trust. Rashi in Masechta Chulin says along the same lines that why is Eid Echod Neman Bisurim? Because we find the Torah says, "V'zavachta mibikarchu mitzayncha." You could slaughter meat, an animal, and you yourself are slaughtering the animal and come and say that I slaughter it properly and it's a kosher animal and you're trusted. So we say Eid Echod Neman Bisurim. So Tosfos asks that these cases that Rashi mentions are all cases where I have the ability to do it right. I have the ability to cook a meal and cook it in a kosher manner. I have ability to shecht an animal and shecht it properly. How do I know that even when something is not in my control, that we still say Eidech and Nevin Bisurim? So Taisa says that the makar for Eidech and Nevin Bisurim is from a woman who becomes a nida. A woman becomes a nida, so of course she's tamei. Of course she becomes prohibited to her husband. But when she says she's no longer a nida, we accept what she says. Why? Because Eid Echad Nemen Bisurim. But says the Gemara, Eim Demeirin Eid Echad Nemen Bisurim. When is that said? Kigoyin Chaticha. We have a piece of meat, Safik Shechelev, Safik Sheshuman. We have a question if the meat is kosher or not kosher. The law is Chazik Isura, so it hasn't been established that it's Osir. But we speak about our Mishnah. Aval Hocha. We're speaking about a woman who's an Eishas Ish. This Chazik Isur de Eishas Ish. We know that this woman is an Eishas Ish. And therefore, the halacha ought to be that we can't just rely on an Eid Echot to say b'fani nechtam, and accept that the get is a valid get. So Taisus asks that I just said that the source for teaching us the halacha of Eid Echot Nam Bisurim is from a woman being a Nida. But a woman nida is also is chazik isur that she's a nida. Yet we accept it. So Taisus answers that she's not is chazik forever. When we speak about a piece of meat that's not kosher, that piece of meat will be not kosher forever. We speak about aishasish, a woman who's aishasish has a chazok, she's aishasish. But a woman who's a nida is not going to be a nida forever. And moreover, Taisus says that she has the ability to go to the mikveh. She controls that. And therefore, there we could say Eirech Nemen Bisurim. But how can we say Eirech Nemen Bisurim? Because how can we say Eirech Nemen Bisurim on a woman who's an Eishas Ish? Because if asked the Gemara, have a Dava Sheba Erva. Isn't this considered a situation of a Dava Sheba Erva? And we know that called Dava Ein Dava Sheba Erva, whenever we speak about Dava Sheba Erva, we say the halacha is that you have to have Pachas Mishnayim, that you always have to have two witnesses. So here too, how can we accept this? So we're learning now that a very big chiddush points out the Marik, that we always know that a Dava Sheba Erva needs two Edim. But here we're learning that you only need two Edim when it's Eschazik Isura. But if it's not Eschazik Isura, even though it would be a Dovah Sheba Erva, you would need to have two Edim. One Ed would be enough. The Gemara says the here the issue is because it's Eschazik Isura. And the question is that why? The halacha that we need to have two Edim by Dovah Sheba Erva is learned from Dinei Mominus, where the Torah says, Apishnei Edim Ashnoish Edim Yokum Dover. So the halacha ought to be that you should always have to have two Edim. And because of that the Hagos, the Tshuvas Maimonis already says that the halacha that you need to have two Edim by Dovah Sheba Erva always is applicable, even if it's not a Schazik Isura. This point of a Schazik Isura was only mentioned in our Gemara in order to strengthen the question why one aid should not be acceptable. But the halacha is you always need to have two aidim by Dover Sheba. Moreover, we're learning here that the halacha differentiates between something which is a Schazik Isura and something which is not a Schazik Isura. So the Paiskim say, for example, if a doctor tells a patient that I want you to take a medicine which is clearly not kosher, so of course the halacha is we're always supposed to listen to the doctor. But if the doctor is telling us to take something which is a schazik isura, of course we're not necessarily speaking about a case of sakonis nefoshes. Because when we speak about sakonis nefoshes, the halacha always tells us to do whatever has to be done. But if it's not necessarily a case of sakonis nefoshes, the halacha should be that we should have to have two Edim. So again, the question is, why is one shliach saying b'fani nechtam adequate? Answers the Gemara, Roiv b'kinhein. Most people do know the halacha of lishma. And therefore, we really don't need to say b'fani nechtem, b'fani nechtem. It says the Gemara, filu rameya, the chayish l'miyuta, even rameya who's always concerned for the miyut, and there is a miyut that don't know the halacha lishma, sam stafford, the dynamigur gmiri. Most soifim know the halacha of lishma. And the way the Rishonim explain this, so that will become, now it becomes a situation of a miyut the miyuta. A miyut the miyuta means it's highly, very, very low percentage that the soifer does not need no lishma. Even Rameyer, who requires, who's worried about the miyut, he's not concerned about the miyut to the miyuta. The Rabbanon, who the atzruch, and the Rabbanon were the ones, as we're learning from the beginning of our Masechta, that instituted the requirement to say b'fani nechtam, b'fani nechtam. B'hochop, mishim iguna, in order that the wife should be not left as an aguna. If the get will not be considered a valid get, she'll never be able to get remarried. And they said that one shliach saying b'fani nechtam will be adequate. Now, Gemara just taught us, as we know from throughout Shas, the Rameyah's demand the omer that is chayish l'miyuta. Rameyah's demand the omer that's worried, that takes into consideration even something which is unlikely to happen. So I saw, we know, that if unfortunately somebody is sick, the minig is that we give tztoka to tztoka Rameyah Balanes. Why do we give specifically tztoka to Rameyah Balanes? Because Rameyah is the mandama that we just learned in the Gemara, that's chayish l'miyuta. So even if it's unlikely, the person is unfortunately really not well, and it's unlikely he's going to get better, but Rameyah always believes that there's a chance that this person will get better. And therefore, we daven, we give tztaka to say that just like Rameyah says, there's always a hope, there's always a chance, even though it's a low, very unlikely, the Eibishter should help that even this person who's not well should have a refuah shleimah.